This is Eleanor Albert. Today I am continuing an interview with Connie Blanchard. It is December 8th, 2008. And our main topic today is going to be the disturbances at the university, the anti-war demonstrations, and the incident at Sterling Hall. So, Connie, what can you tell us about your experience with that?
Okay. My family and I returned home after a long drive on Sunday, the 23rd of August, 1970. We'd been on a camping trip in Canada and in the West. We went to bed. I was awakened by a very loud noise, probably around 3:30 a.m. I thought it was a very unusual clap of thunder and thought not little of it until 4:15, when Mildred Richards, the wife of Hugh Richards, who had been but was not at that time chairman of the physics department, and she called me up and she said, "That was Sterling Hall." Now I have to explain the situation as far as the chairmanship of the department was concerned. In our department, we elect a chair, and he or she serves for 2 or 3 years. But this was a very loose arrangement in the summer when nothing much happened, and I was in charge of the summer session. And so I was, in effect, acting chair at that point. Naturally, I went over there as quickly as I could, and sure enough, there was a scene of complete disaster, flashing red lights all over the place, and there had the terrible Sterling Hall bombing had taken place. By the way, you can still see from the outside of the East Wing, the south side of the east wing of Sterling Hall, where the wall had to be replaced from the bombing. I was the person sort of in charge of the department, although not really. And in a situation like that, the university police and the university authorities were really in charge. I had really nothing much to do in that situation except sort of stay out of the way and answer the telephone. At any rate, this was a terrible catastrophe, and it was the greatest disaster that ever befell our department by a long way. I had been myself quite active in the anti-war movement. I was a member of Faculty for Peace, and I was also a member of MAPAC, which was a community peace organization, and I knew some of the students who were in a protest because I had met them in meetings. So I was sort of very much taken aback when this explosion, which in effect ended the anti-war movement in Madison, took place. For the next few days, I mostly answered telephone calls from other departments, and particularly from some departments who volunteered that our research could continue at their facilities. I learned that walking around on the broken glass is very slippery, and there was broken glass all over the place. they grew. Of course, it's known that one of our graduate students was in the building at the time and was putting the finishing touches on his thesis and was directly killed by this explosion. The explosion was aimed, actually, at an institution which occupied the upper floors of the east wing of Stirling Hall, which was the Army Math Center, the Math Research Center, or the Army Math Center. There's a Math Research Center which was sponsored by the United States Army. And that was really the target of the bombing. I don't think the physics department was the target. With the help of Irv Shane and the Inn administration, the department did recover, although we lost at least one distinguished member, Hans Barschel, who decided that he wasn't going to have any more of this and moved over to the engineering school. The big research facility there, the accelerator, was not damaged. And after several months, things were brought back to operation in that east wing of Stirling Hall. It was a terrible experience, and it was a tragic way for the protest movement to end. And it not only was a tragic way for them, but it ended the protest movement.
And in what way did it end it? Nobody wanted to be a part of
it. Everybody was so horrified at what had happened that they stayed away from that kind of activity. I should say also that although I was involved in community organizations which were against the war, nobody in any of my classes would have known it from anything I said or did.
And what went on at the police level in terms of trying to find the perpetrators?
For the next several weeks, what went on was a survey of the damage, and a crew from the FBI appeared, I think it was the FBI, and they the explosion was carried in by as a load of fertilizer, ammonium nitrate, I suppose, and detonated from a stolen van. The owner of that van was a professor, I think, of math. And this FBI guys gradually, slowly, piece by piece, recovered all the pieces of that van so that they could identify it. I should also say that the Army Math Center moved from Stirling Hall after that incident, which affected them, I think, very little. I'm not really sure about that. I think it affected them very little. The bomb was set off at ground level and did its damage at ground level, and they were up on the third floor and above. I guess that's what I recall now.
And in terms of the people who set off the bomb, was there any feeling that they might have been students or outside agitators?
Oh, yes. In fact, the one person in that crew who has to this day eluded capture was a physics major, a guy named Burt. I haven't followed closely, but two of them served time. One of them, whose name I don't remember, now earned a law degree, and as I understand it, is practicing law. Another one has some kind of food establishment on State Street or something like that.
I see. So they were underground for a while and then captured, or were they captured pretty quickly, or you don't?
I didn't follow very well.
Yeah.
It was so disgusting, I didn't want to hear much about it. But and I think there was a fourth one too that I don't have any recollection of. They were rounded up fairly quickly, and Bert, nobody knows what happened.
And were there memorial services for the student, the physics student that you recall?
Or? Oh yes, very much so. I'll remember the name in a minute. I'm blocking on right now. Turn it off for a minute.
So the individual who was killed did have some memorial services for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had a wife who was still in town, as I understand it, and who herself had been a graduate student.
So I suppose this was one of the key incidents that people remember of those times in medicine.
That's right. It was a very depressing time.
Yeah.
I remember later that month, my wife Marty and I went for a walk over in Violence Park, and it was a gray, cool, dull evening, and it sort of felt like the end of the world. Just people were demoralized.
Well, it's been interesting to hear about this, and thanks very much, Connie.
You're welcome.